World War I was claimed to be the war that would end all wars. From this extremely brutal and tragic conflict that took the lives of about 35 million people, the League of Nations was formed. This organization was constructed as a worldwide intergovernmental operation whose principal mission was to maintain world peace. But it failed. Afterward, World War II was described to be the next war that would end all wars. And from this horribly bloody and destructive conflict that took the lives of about 60 million people, the United Nations was born. This organization's primary objective has been to maintain international peace, much like that of the original League of Nations. However, since World War II, many more conflicts have erupted down through the remaining 20th and on into the 21st centuries. Many more millions have been savagely tortured, raped, and killed in these conflicts. Korea, Vietnam, Cuba, the Gulf War, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and of course the ongoing battles with Islamic terrorist groups around the world. Conflict after conflict, wars upon wars. Humanity continues to cry out, when will it ever stop? Well, on today's program, this question will be answered and addressed. So stay with us.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. And certainly we hope you'll stay with us over the next 25 or so minutes as we explore God's Word together. You know, we're living in some very turbulent times, my friends. I think many of us are all agreed to the fact that the times that we're seeing around us are very tense. A lot of political tension in the air. There's a lot of fighting amongst nations, and certainly a lot of unrest throughout the area of the world. And peace seems to be very elusive for mankind. I think all of us know, in looking back at the history and the legacy of humankind, that peace, frankly, seems to be very, well, elusive, always just out of the reach of man to achieve this condition whereby we could all live peacefully and happily with one another. And now, with the development of certain, well, what you could say, technologies around us, it begins to cause one to wonder, where in the world is artificial intelligence going to take us? Or perhaps nanotechnology, little machines that are less than 100 nanometers. I mean, this is very small stuff, my friends, along with even smaller machinery, little robotic devices that are called smart dust. And people now exploring the possibility of transhuman developments. That's the infusion of machines and robotics into the biological human being. And then, of course, we understand now that what we see in outer space, the new frontier, with satellites and the development of these satellites and laser technology that is exploring already areas of weather control, as well as, and sadly to say, the weaponization of these particular technologies out of satellites from outer space. And that leads me to the military development of robotics and, unfortunately, weapons that I'm afraid we don't even know in some cases exist and are generally given to us under the guise of defend and protect, but unfortunately, oftentimes are used offensively. My friends, it is amazing that we find ourselves surrounded by so many of these, frankly, disturbing ideas of where this stuff can take us. I know a lot of it can be used for positive usage, and certainly in the medical profession and so forth, we see a lot of good things from technology in terms of operations and so on and surgery. But the reality of it is, so often this stuff goes south on us. And it tends to lead to the words of the Apostle Paul over there in Romans chapter 3, where he borrows some words from Isaiah the prophet, who spoke these very same words some 700 years before he mentioned them here in Romans 3 and in verse 17. Let me read them for you, because very simply, after he goes through a litany of items here in talking about mankind in Romans 3, verse 17, he tumbles to this statement, "And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." My friends, these words should resonate with each and every one of us, especially when we compare it to the legacy of humanity, our history, and all that we see when we read the books of what has happened in the years, the decades, and the centuries and millennia before us. It's an amazing, amazing legacy, and frankly, quite shameful with all of the people that have died over these years and all of these battles with empires rising and falling and fighting one another over, as I say, the decades and centuries of humankind. But I want to go back to what Isaiah said over there in chapter 59. And when I come back, I'm going to interrupt myself on some literature here that we have to offer to all of you. But I want to come back to that Isaiah chapter 59 that Paul borrowed from there in Romans 3 to explore it a little bit more deeply as we go into this discussion about how will mankind ever find peace? And really, will mankind ever find peace? But before I do, let me interrupt myself, as we usually do here, to present to you our free offers. Today, we have two of them. One is a booklet, and the other is a CD, about a one-hour presentation before a live audience. The booklet, it's titled, Why Jesus Christ, or Why Christ Must Return. And the one-hour presentation is Christ's Second Coming. Is it biblical? And this is what we're going to be exploring today, because mankind's problems just seem to be going on and on and on and on. And you wonder, will peace ever come? Will mankind ever find peace? Will he finally be able to achieve this very ambitious objective of finally achieving peace on earth? Well, these two booklets, these two offers that you can obtain by just dialing 888-578-8791 and request your free offer, or you can download, let me remind you, you can actually get it almost immediately if you just download Why Christ Must Return. You can get it right there on our website at cgi.org. Or if you want to request it via email, you can go ahead and request it through just going ahead and putting in info@cgi.org and request both of these offers. Again, the booklet, Why Christ Must Return, and a one-hour presentation titled Christ's Second Coming. Is it biblical? And this is an important understanding to have, my friends, as I mentioned, because mankind doesn't seem to know how to achieve peace. And it brings us to that question again, and let me reiterate, will we ever find peace? So my friends, go ahead, like I said, and dial that number. Or don't forget also You can download our app on your telephone or other mobile devices like your iPad and be able to navigate through our website a little bit easier and find this booklet on our app and, again, download right from your apps. So go ahead. You can get that app at any of the app stores at your availability. Easy to acquire. And, again, all you've got to do is download it there to your mobile devices. So one more time, 888-578-8791 for both of these. And, again, let me emphasize, free offers. Nobody's going to be calling you for money. Nobody's going to be trying to get their hands in your pocket. We don't do that here. Everything that we provide is free for the asking. All you've got to do is request it, and we'll get it out to you. Or, like I said, don't forget, just go to our website and download it there for your convenience, because you can get it an awfully quicker that way. So back to the program here, and let me bring your attention back to this 59th chapter in the book of Isaiah that I wanted to discuss a little bit and unpack here for our edification. The prophet had a lot to say about why peace is unable to be achieved. And he answers a lot of questions here in this 59th chapter in answering that mystery. Here in verse 1 we read, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Your sins, your iniquities, your transgressions, these are the things that separate you and your God. "And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you." These are the things, my friends, that we as people, human beings, often underestimate the impact, the effect it has on our relationship with God. And if we would allow ourselves to consider the words of God and begin to change and perhaps modify our behaviors to bring them more in line with God, I'm sure, my friends, I can guarantee the fact you will see a change in your life as you draw closer to God. Because you see, it's these iniquities, these very things that we find ourselves constantly confronting in life's events that cause us the difficulty in getting along with God. And so here we find ourselves in this particular case as we go back to the book of Isaiah and read here, picking up in verse 3. Let me take you through a little story here. "For your hands are defiled with blood, and with your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Dropping down to verse 6 for the sake of time. "Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace." And so here we have the prophet describing our world. I think many of us would agree the fact that we are in a situation very similar back then as when Isaiah was writing and basically speaking to Israel at that time, the divided kingdom during his lifetime. And he was taking people through this understanding and attempting to reveal to them why God was so disappointed and dissatisfied with their nation, and why, quite frankly, judgment was moving in on them. And history has shown us that in Israel's case, the northern 10 tribes did go down at the hands of the Assyrians And about 100 plus years later, the Babylonians took the southern nation or portion of Israel out, Judah, by Babylon. But over in verse here in 16 it is, Isaiah 59, we get an introduction, an interesting introduction of a solution to humanity, or at least in this case, Israel's situation, but also, by extension, humanity's case. And here is Isaiah's introduction to us as to what God intends and intended to do in terms of bringing humankind a solution to all of this sin, all of this iniquity, all of these wayward ways. He says in verse 16, the prophet does, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And we are being introduced here to a Redeemer. As we go down further here into these scriptures, we see that the armor of God is put upon this individual, this one who's being introduced to us as an intercessor. And in verse 18, we read, according to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. This intercessor, with the armor of God wrapped tightly around him, is going to ultimately bring peace to humanity. And that's what the Isaiah here, this prophet, is telling us. In verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. In other words, this Redeemer, this intercessor, is ultimately going to come to earth and begin to bring in a whole new era, a whole new event, a whole new set of circumstances and conditions that is ultimately going to result in peace for mankind. And this, my friends, and let me introduce this to you. I don't know how many of you realize this. This was a plan, according to your Bible, this was a plan that was in play before the world was. Oh yeah, that's right. You can read about this over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 7 and 9. We'll put them up there on the screen for you. Also, you can read about it in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 2. And let me bring your attention also, if you'd like to look it up, in Romans 16 and in verse 25. All three of these scriptures illustrate the fact that this was a predetermined plan that God the Father had about redeeming humanity from its iniquities and ultimately ushering peace into the earth by virtue of this intercessor and Redeemer. And so here we have the idea here in Isaiah brought to us to comprehend the fact that all of these concepts of different types and methodologies of governments are nonsense. I mean, we're all aware of the fact of Marxism. We've got socialism. We've got communism. We've got capitalism and monarchism. We've got totalitarianism. And we've got fascism and all kinds of organizations. After World War I, did we not have the League of Nations? And then after World War II, we found the League of Nations didn't work, so we developed the United Nations. And yes, today now we even are accelerating and building on the United Nations through a group handled by and was founded by a guy named Klaus Schwab, and is essentially called the World Economic Forum, using a terminology that of all things is labeled as the Great Reset. Currently, the world still believes that it can achieve peace, that it can accomplish what it has not yet been able to accomplish. And they think that if only they can assemble a new world order by means of this Great Reset, well then, everything is just going to be okay, and we'll all live happily ever after. But my friends, do you really think that's true? Your Bible says something totally different. Let me bring your attention over here to the book of Acts. This time in the history of the church, when it just started, Jesus had been walking the earth after his resurrection as a resurrected spirit being for about 40 days now. And he's getting ready to ascend back up to the Father. He's going to leave planet earth now after he's been walking about 40 days or so after the resurrection. And he's over at the Mount of Olives, and his disciples are all there, and they've been talking to him on and off over this 40-day period. I'm not going to digress into any of the details. You can read it there in your Bible, in the Gospels, and even in the book of John. Point being, though, in this case, something interesting is told to us in terms of this Redeemer intercessor who has the armor of God upon him and that ultimately is coming back to Palestine, as Isaiah called it, Zion, to establish. We find in other parts of the Bible, even in Isaiah, other chapters, where he establishes this Redeemer, this intercessor, he establishes world ruling government. And you can read about that in Isaiah chapter 2. You can read about it also in Micah chapter 4. Whereby we are told very clearly that mankind will ultimately experience peace when this occurs. And what we're told here right out of the box as Jesus ascends back to the Father and ends this phase of his visitation, it opens the door for a new phase, the age of the church and the dispensation of his Spirit, and of course, the time, the clicking of time until his second coming and return. Why do I say that? Look at this. Over here in verse 11, an angel appears as all the apostles are looking up in the air as Jesus is ascending, and all of a sudden, this one in white appears, and in verse 10, chapter 1, book of Acts, we read, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel." These are those angels I was telling you about. Verse 11 now, "which also said..." These angels spoke to the disciples / apostles at this time. And they said, "You men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." My friends, this is the first of the promise that we see here mentioned to us, substantiated, confirmed, and reconfirmed by these two angels as they establish this communique to the apostles and to the disciples that Jesus Christ himself is indeed coming back to earth at some point in the future. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had a ministry that was focused on that. I don't have a lot of time to go through the events that I really wanted to emphasize. Again, let me encourage you to get the offers that we're offering, Why Christ Must Return, and the one-hour long presentation with regard to whether or not Christ's second coming is biblical. But the fact of it is, if you read the last four chapters of the book of Acts, you will find some very interesting details there of Paul's arrest and then transfer to Rome and the establishment of what he does during that time period of being arrested and being held up in jail for 2 years by Festus and Felix and these guys, Agrippa and so forth. It's an interesting read, those four chapters, and go through and see what Paul is preaching and what Paul is telling them all through those four chapters over and over and over. The story is continuous. There's a continuum. It's thematic. It's about a resurrection. It's about Jesus Christ being alive, because you can best believe, my friends, over 500 people watched Jesus walk around the earth for those 40 days that I was mentioning before. And when those angels appeared before those apostles on the Mount of Olives and told them what they were telling them as Jesus was ascending to heaven, that was a story. And you can best believe that story was spread by lots of people all over the place, including, in this case, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, in those four chapters of Acts 24 through 28, read it. It's an interesting story. You will see that Paul was excited. He was passionate about the fact that Jesus Christ was indeed alive at the right hand of the Father and is on a countdown from heaven. As a matter of fact, we're told in more detail over here in 1 Thessalonians. Let me turn there real quick here as we bring this program to a close. And in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says here, when many Christians were being taken captive and arrested and so forth at the time, he says, look, I would not have you to be ignorant. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that's just a polite way of saying that have died. He says here, that you sorrow not even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, even so, them which also shall, which sleep, which are dead in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This was core. My friends, this was core to the Apostle Paul's message. This was core to the Apostle Peter's message. It was core to the Apostle James and John. It was core to Matthew, Mark, Luke. It was core to all of these guys, whether it was Thomas or Nathaniel, Bartholomew, all of them. The return of Jesus Christ was major. Why is it major? Well, read Isaiah chapter 2, read Micah 4. You'll find out. It's talking about world ruling government and Christ coming back to reestablish the government of God for 1,000 years, as pointed out by the Apostle John in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verse about 4 or so. My friends, these are important scriptures to bring to your attention. So let me again, time's run out on me, remind all of you, go ahead and get those free offers that we're offering to you today. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791, 888-578-8791, or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org, or as I said before, download the booklet, Why Christ Must Return, right now. You can do it right now. The disc can come a little bit later upon your request. Christ's Second Coming, is it biblical? That's the title of it. And it's free again. Let me emphasize this, my friends, it's free for the asking. So again, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, do you keep on that armor of God so that you might be able to stand in these evil days?
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.